It seems as if with all this Afrophobia or xenophobia, you know, Pan-Africanism is dead.
You're right. It seems as though it's dead. Now it's very much alive, my brother. And we are using these particular incidents as one of the ways to not only show that it's still alive, but to revive its significance to the generality of the global African nation.
Ms. Zimbuzana, Pan-Africanism dead and buried, right?
No, it actually hasn't died. In fact, now that this whole issue has come to the fore, we can then come together and say we are African. South Africa is part of Africa. It cannot remove itself from its geographical location. And that being the case, it cannot then remove itself from the spirit of Ubuntu. So Pan-Africanism is going to be rekindled afresh, because even the diplomats, their conversations with their South African counterparts are going to change. They're going to be asking each other, now when you say Ubuntu, and that word is written all over, tell us what it means. So yes, Pan-Africanism is back, and it's going to be more alive and more kicking. And that gladdens our hearts.
And that leads me to something else here, Mr. Spanda. You know, there were some people were posting messages saying, you know, South Africa regards itself as South of Africa and not South Africa. Just your take on that.
No, that's very true. That is why in the whole idea of the reintegration exercise, it's not simply about saying people must live together harmoniously. It's also about the ideological realities and getting South Africans to realize that there is no South Africa and Africa. Well, definitely, you hear some people when they are going to Zimbabwe, black people, black South Africans, saying to you they are now going to Africa. And that's an idea that has been instilled by the West for its own particular interests, and a lot of South Africans actually believe it. But through the Pan-Africanist interventions that we are working on, we are revisiting that, and we are getting into communities and getting the communities to discuss some of these things, and also using the performing arts, because we have found the performing arts to be a very effective tool to re-engage and get people to understand the oneness of African people, and realize that this whole conceptualization of South Africa being independent of the rest of the continent is a simply fallacious idea which can never be sustained, and which will leave South Africans, particularly black South Africans, totally isolated if they try to run with it, as we are very, very strong and pushing for the oneness of the global African family, and therefore the unity of the global African family. If they try to get out of the family, then they'll have a big problem.
Ms. Zimbuzana, your take on that?
In fact, it's not just the ordinary South African who's a little bit confused about the way South Africa stands. It also includes the politicians. That's why South African foreign policy itself is hodgepodge. It's not really clear what they want. They want to stick with the rest of Africa, or do they want to then align themselves with the West? So it does need a lot of education, including the politician who has got to understand that, yes, they've got a better economy, but geographically, they are in Africa. They are part of Africa. We are together. We are all the same. So whatever happens to us in Zimbabwe, we've got every right, legitimate right, to come here to South Africa and seek assistance, because they are our neighbors and we are in the same continent. So they've got to understand that aspect and realize that that aspect of being African is what should actually unite us and not divide us.
And how do you turn around that, Mr. Spanda, to make sure that some people understand really what South Africa is all about?
A lot of people pick this thing up from the surface, if I can put it that way. Picking it up from the surface, they get a distorted view of what South Africa is. For instance, the migrant labor that made South Africa what it is not really acknowledged even by the politicians. And because that aspect is never quite understood, you'll hear some people tell you, about the greatness of the South African economy. But the greatness of that economy is not in the hands of the owners of the country, who basically are the majority and black South Africans. There are many foreign entities that actually own the resources and own the wealth that is South Africa. And they got to this position as a result of the use of migrant labor. So now they cannot turn around and pretend that part of history does not exist. And at the same time, we have to go back to the liberation struggle. You find that during the days of the liberation struggles across the continent, the whole idea of Africa being one was not an issue. Everyone knew that Africa has to be free. And with South Africa being the last bastion of white domination, everyone put their efforts around the liberation of South Africa. Everyone put their energies into ensuring that South Africa would be free. And now, without that knowledge and taking it forward and saying, okay, South Africa is now free and South Africa, with its freedom, can try to distance its way away from Africa, that can never, ever work. And that is why we need to also note that South Africa does not even consider itself free. They don't talk about freedom. They don't talk about independence. They just talk about democracy. They talk about the age of democracy now. So they also accept that they are not in control of their own reality. They're not in control of their own situation. And for that reason, it becomes necessary for us to come in as Pan-Africanists and begin to instill the right thinking and the right knowledge and the right awareness of what exactly it means to be an African and what Africa means to all of us as African people.
Mrs. Mbuzana, can I conclude there?
Yes, I agree with Sabelo Fool. South Africa's thinking has got to be changed. Like I said before, even its foreign policy is watch poached. They are all over the show. They're not so sure exactly what they want. They really need to change that and come to the fore and say, we are where we are because Africans sacrificed. Some people actually passed away sacrificing their lives for this nation. And therefore, we are not saying that Africa must then go down on the knees and salute or do whatever the rest of the continent wants them to do. But we are saying they must be appreciative of the fact that the rest of the African continent played a crucial role in making sure that South Africa gets liberated. And yes, it's not just about democracy. It's about freedom. It's about acknowledging the role of Africa. If you check, South Africa is one of the few countries in Africa that doesn't even celebrate Africa Day. Why don't they? And they are part of Africa. Isn't that the day? That is very important. So those are some of the issues that South Africa has got to grapple with and solve.